welcome to the Forest We Want podcast. I am Elle Ireland, otherwise known as Elle the Acrobat, and I've been working with my friend and colleague Steve Jelliott over the last few months to really capture the essence of the Forest of Dean and to create some content that will hopefully spark debate surrounding the forest becoming a UNESCO designated biosphere reserve. Now, a UNESCO biosphere is an internationally recognised reserve, and it places education and sustainable development at the centre of wildlife conservation, which I think is a really valuable approach. As you'll hear throughout these interviews, it is no good applying a one-size-fits-all approach to nature conservation as we often have in the past. It's absolutely essential that we first recognise the current state of the Forest of Dean with regards to the health and variety of the habitats it contains, the quality of the ecosystems that benefit from those habitats, and the enterprise and the businesses which function and profit in and around the forest. Once we have a global understanding of these very complicated networks in the Forest of Dean, we can tailor our efforts to suit the needs of the forest. So that's the basic concept of a UNESCO biosphere. And if you're interested, I would really recommend taking a look on the UNESCO site. You can just Google UNESCO Biosphere Reserve to find out more.
This is Steve, Elle's creative comrade in the Forest We Want project. What you're about to get is a conversation which we recorded after Elle was called back to go to university to do her master's. So that's why you're hearing my voice now. It was very important to us to capture some thoughts from the business community in the Forest of Dean, what the biosphere might mean from a business perspective. I was really lucky to film and record a small group of leading businesswomen from the area at the Harts Barn Cookery School, and I asked the forest larder to tempt my willing guests with a number of tasty things, but I was really mean, didn't let them eat anything until we had recorded some conversation, as you will see if you watch the video. You won't see all the delicious things if you're just listening to the podcast on audio, obviously, but just take it from me, there was a table spread with delicious chutneys and cheeses and biscuits and cakes, and we had a very good late lunch. But the perspectives are, they represented quite a few million pounds of turnover in the forest between them, these women, and came from a number of sectors, from kind of local produce cooking and food hampers to career development, apprenticeship, running the apprenticeship company, and also some of them multi-talented. So you'll hear from Lizzie, who, as well as selling the hampers around the world, she also creates artworks and props for movies, so that there's a visual arts connection in there as well, there was a remarkable bunch of talented women, as you will hear. Enjoy. Yeah, thank you so much for doing this.
My business at all, but, you know. She gave me a Harts Barn mug as well, look, you know. So, food-wise then, we have Peter's Crackers, which everything apart from a couple of cheeses are local to what we sell in the Forest Larder. All local, and the ethos very much is about local food and local small suppliers. So we've got an assortment of crackers, and we've got some gluten-free fava beans crackers. No, I've got a few more of those out there. Then we've got, cheese wise, we have got some non-local cheese, so we've got some brie, blue cheese and manchego. And then we've got some double Gloucester, which is from Godsall's, just outside Stonehouse. And then Anne Giddy from Chepstow. We sell loads of lovely cheese. Which is good with fruitcake, so it's Y Valley beer fruitcake, So you can get that. You can have cheese with fruitcake or cheese with crackers, depends on.
As a northerner,
we've got cookie, Frank's cookies. So we've got some toffee shortbread and some raspberry and white chocolate shortbread. And then we have also, savoury wise, we've got wild boar pate. Yes. Obviously, that's nice and local here. Even the butter is local, so another Nether End unsalted butter.
Yeah,
and nice. Then it's unsalted as opposed to salted one. And then we've got, in terms of chutneys, we've got one of our chefs has made an apple and almost like a apple pie chutney.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not quite apple pie, but you can smell the cinnamon and the raisin in there. So that's one of his. We've got a fig chutney, and then good old Branston, because you have to, don't you?
With always
cheese and biscuits. So yes.
Let me start.
So for those of you who don't know, Leanne Pogson, I run a couple of companies out of this site. So Leap HR Consultancy, so a non-traditional HR business, and then this year I opened Leap Holistic Therapies. So I also do holistic therapy from the unit there. I'm here today to where I am in the Forest Larder. My office is at the back of the Forest Larder, so I find myself drawn. They're a client of mine from an HR perspective, the cookery school, so I'm here for part of the cookery school today. I get roped in to do quite a lot for the cookery school, to be fair.
Oh,
yeah. So that's me, really.
So I'm Mickey, I'm pretty sure most of you know me. I am the coordinator for the Forest Economic Partnership and I work for the Forest Industry Council. I'm here as a representative for the Forest Economic Partnership and as a resident of the Forest Dean.
So yes, I'm Claire Versagent, I'm MD of the South West Apprenticeship Company. We are not a training provider, we are a specialist apprentice recruitment and HR and employment agency. So we've placed over 1,000 apprentices across the Southwest and we employ them, we mentor them, we support the smaller employer with all their HR, their payroll and make the experience as hopefully as smooth as good as possible and we mentor the young person. I do have other hats and sits on different boards or whatever, but I'm very into education and skills because that's what I do. So I'm the joint chair for the education and skills at the FEP. I also sit on the careers hub in Gloucestershire. I also sit on education skills over in the west of England in Bristol. The reason why I was drawn to supporting FEP and the Economic Partnership and the strategic group as a whole is because I think that education and skills is really important in the forest. And I think that not just for young people, but for all ages, I think it's really important that there's opportunities and we celebrate what is local and encourage younger and older people to do something that will bring more to the forest.
I'm Lizzie and I run two businesses. One, Dean Y Hampers, which is an alternative hamper company. We source the majority of our stuff from the Forest of Dean and the Wye Valley and use all kinds of different products, but we also use vouchers. So we have accommodation voucher hampers, we have magic show hampers, all kinds of different hampers there. So we want to be different from every other hamper company, and it's all about supporting local. I also run a small sustainable farm about a mile and a half from here, and that is all about local produce for local people. So I sell my eggs and my beef and my mutton through the Forest Larder, and it's used in the cookery school, and the eggs are delivered around the area. I also run another small shop up here called it's a new name called Fiddle Faddle, and that's all about vintage and antique, but that also supports local crafters. So we have people who make chopping boards and cushions and all kinds of stuff. So there's lots of different local crafters in there as well.
Fabulous. Hi, I'm Sarah Taylor Phillips and I've got a company called Career Voyage, and basically we help individuals be inspired and get hired. So we help individuals find work that they love, get hired in roles they love. Also with that company, we help companies hold on to their talent and acquire talent. And there's a big thing at the moment, I don't know if you heard about it, the great reshuffle or the great resignation. So lots of people are moving roles at the moment, so we help organisations with that. I started a business in the Forest of Dean a long time ago, and we got up to sort of 13 employees, and it's a really great place to employ people, great place to live, work. I'm involved in FEP on the education skills side because, again, like Claire, I want to inspire people. There's so many opportunities here, and people just aren't aware of those opportunities. Young people aren't aware of those opportunities, but older people aren't as well. And there's a huge amount of entrepreneurs locally here. I mean, I was an entrepreneur locally here. We had a £6 million business, and we kept it quiet, really. So there's a lot of opportunity. It's a really great place to live and work. You know, well-being, it's fantastic to be out in nature. It's an and also the communications are really good. I also do work for the Careers and Enterprise Company as well, and that's about inspiring young people around careers. So that's me.
Amazing. I'm so impressed.
I feel like I've not told you enough about the cookery school now, but you know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The forest is full of hidden companies. Though.
Yeah, it really is.
And the kids, and that, well, older people as well, they just don't know. They're not aware of the businesses on their doorstep where they could go and work.
And I think even people who have been here for a few years have no idea either.
No. Well, I've lived here for 23, 24 years. You find businesses and you're like, what? Yes. What? You work where? That's amazing.
You get on without the internet.
So that's really interesting because I'm not from around here, and it's been one of the first things we noticed is that all the kind of industrial history is kind of partially hidden by all the trees, and so there's a sense, and yet when you walk around, you hear work going on in all sorts of places. So there's this sort of what you were just saying, that there's a hidden activity within the forest, and it's really interesting to hear it carry through to different sectors.
Sure, it is. And Never End Butter, for example, you know, that business, actually, it's on airlines, you know, global airlines. Yeah. If you fly first class, you'll have Never End Butter on your, you know, on your plate. And if you go to some of the best hotels in the world, Never End Butter will be there. It's extraordinary.
And it's served
business.
In our local pub.
Yeah. And our local tea room.
And we sell it in the shop.
And it goes in my hampers.
Yeah. So it's, you know, that's a, you know, great local business that's been here for years and years and years. Yeah. And it's such a success, but people don't really know that. You might, if you came across it when you were somewhere other.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's a bit like this location, Hart's Barn itself. Mm-hmm. We have so many people from locally going, didn't know you were here.
Yeah,
you know, they drive past all the time, they see the vets and they don't. So we've done quite a lot of work in terms of marketing outside the units. The cookery school has been here for 11 years and so is the tea room. Mm-hmm. You know, the ethos behind the cookery school and teaching young people all the way up to adults to cook, to have fun with the food, to experiment with their cooking. You know, it's recently, I suppose in the last couple of years, despite lockdown, we've actually got a bit more credibility in the area than we did perhaps before, I would say.
Yvette's done some wonderful work, hasn't she, online? She's been doing these videos, hasn't she, where she'll get nettles and then she'll do nettle soup. Yeah. She's tens and tens of thousands of views, hasn't she?
Yeah. Yeah. We did this weekend. Yeah, really, we've had, so Friday and Sunday, we had the Cotswold forager, Rob, and he was on the TV with Prue Leith and Sandy Toxvig when they went to the... So he did the foraging with them. He's our forager we use, and we do a session called Foraging Feast. So on this estate, they'll go round and they'll find everything.
There's loads of stuff.
Loads of stuff. There's also two of the most poisonous plants ever on this estate. clearly he knows what they are, but they come back and then they cook that food and they literally have a feast of food. So much food, so that a chef is here. So on Friday it was Yvette and on Sunday it was Joe, and they have so much food to eat and they don't realise that just picking leaves, nettles, berries, mushrooms, and the time of year that they come up with this stuff, and they can make, you know, from gin, from slope berries, all the way up to, you know, anything for children. And he's got two kids himself and takes them out foraging all the time. Yeah, and that's just off his estate.
Yeah, we make our own slow gin, and that's one of the best things we're discovering in the forest.
and the purpose of us opening the forest larder was about extension of the cookery school, and actually whilst we source, you know, quite a lot locally, we make as well.
Yeah.
And you know, Joe makes things like this, makes bread for us. Yvette will bottle and make things like wild garlics in season. We'll do wild garlic oil and vinegar. We'll use the wild garlic and work with our pork provider to make wild garlic and pork sausages. You know, it's all about working in collaboration.
And also, last Christmas, they made quite a lot of produce for my corporate hampers. So we dispatched something like, I think, 600 hampers in 10 days. And Yvette had made three of the products in a huge corporate order that went out 400 hampers.
Yeah.
So it's, the collaboration between the businesses is really important. Yeah.
When it comes to the biosphere, and I was thinking about this because, you know, like they did the research into it, and I watched the video and everything, and the councillor, and it is such an interesting concept. And yes, there is this important wildlife, there is important flowers and plants and things like that that we do need to protect, and protect the rivers from expanding the quarries and things, because that will have an effect. But it's, for me, it goes back to, again, bringing in the education and skills side of it, and encouraging local people, again, it doesn't matter what age they are, whether it's school children coming through, but to inspire them to think about what they could do, because there is, if we do, this is successful, there's going to be so much opportunity for people to do what you're doing, or to do what Rachel does, you know, with the mosaics and things, that, because it will bring more tourism and destination, people coming in, and people within the forest will do more within the forest as well. So I really think it's about inspiring for me. And to get more people to realise that they don't necessarily have to do a 9-to-5 job, 40 hours a week, and go to Gloucester every day.
And also, it's about, for me, it's about taking the forest into someone else's world.
Yeah.
So one of the strap lines I use in my business is from the forest to your world. So it's actually talking about, so my small sustainable farm, working with nature, leaving areas that are not cleared, using animals that are suitable to that kind of terrain, that browse as well as graze, and having different kinds of animals, but also making sure that that produce is made locally, there's no air miles in it, it just goes to a local abattoir, it then comes into local shops and goes to local people. And that's the taste of the forest, going out there and saying, actually, do you know what? This little pocket over here, we have some amazing produce and some amazing crafters that are producing all of this stuff and taking it to your world in London or Paris or Australia or wherever it is.
I think that's really exciting, though. But yeah, the entrepreneurial opportunities, there are people, you know, Mary Rose, for example, is not food, but you know, she's got a global business in Colford. You know, she's a potter, and it's absolutely extraordinary. And that, you know, kids at school, if they could see that they can make pottery and paint things and actually have a career and a successful business out there and live here
and have that life. Because, like, during lockdown, the best thing was, because I have to travel all over the southwest.
Yeah.
I love not travelling. I always loved coming home, but I just love the fact that I come out my door, I'm straight into the forest, and it's all there. You can go foraging, and you can go cycling and walking or whatever, but it's there, and our quality of life is better, our well-being is better.
It is. And I think biophilia and well-being, you know, that there's lots of research, and I can share it with you guys, but there's lots of research around, you know, being outside nature and well-being, for sure. And at the moment, mental health and working, you know, if you can go for a cycle, you know, for an hour and a half, have a longer lunch break and go cycling, you're more productive, your performance is better, it's a great place to employ people, and it's a fabulous place to work, and people coming into the, you know, it's been a well-kept secret, you know, my family from here, and we'll be like, boom, you know, keep it secret, but now, yeah, people need to know about it, and it's a really special place, and there's loads of collaboration, because we're like a big family, actually.
And everybody knows everybody and what they're doing in the forest.
Absolutely.
So when I started the hamper business, I went out and found lots of different suppliers, but actually working with a vet at Hart's Barn, we collaborate. So if we find a new supplier, we tell each other and we share it.
Yeah.
But now, because everybody knows about DIY hampers and what we're doing, suppliers are coming to me. I don't have to go out and find them now, because there's a small area, and they're saying, actually, I'd like to come and be in your hampers, or I know someone who would make this, and they could go in your craft shop. etc. So the collaboration thing is huge out here. Huge.
I think there's a big thing about appreciation of actually what we've got, and I think the last 18 months has probably highlighted to an awful lot of people, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was on my doorstep. And from well-being, the mental health, we've actually got so much here that is so supportive of people. They've started to appreciate what they had on their doorstep, as opposed to, oh, I'll leave the forest as soon as I can. Actually, no, I don't, because I didn't realise you can get this much locally, sure, you can get that locally. The range of everything that we have is phenomenal.
It is, and by celebrating all that, those hidden jobs that are out there start to be non-hidden, and then you know, people coming, either like school children coming through who are thinking about careers, who just think, well, you know, what they make butter. But yes, but within the making butter, they have to do finance, they have to do marketing, they'll have administration, they probably need somebody to do their IT. So there's like all these hidden social media. So there's all these like hidden jobs within these businesses that have got really successful. So whether that be apprenticeships, which is obviously where the field I work in, but whether it's other opportunities to be able to develop skills and, you know, go to college and, you know, do blacksmithing and come back and be able to set up on your own. I think it's really quite exciting.
I think it really is exciting. And as well, you know, it could be, you know, the whole career thing, they don't go in straight lines, and first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth career, lots of people are coming, you know, lots of people are coming here later in life, you know, and then starting up, you know, they might be doing apprenticeships when they're 50 or over, or might be doing, starting up their own business then, so... Yeah,
I think you've hit the nail on the head, actually, because there's a lot of new people coming into the forest, and I'm a prime example. 22 years in corporate life, left that, became a blacksmith.
Oh, did you?
Absolutely, 10 years at that. And then have incorporated my blacksmithing into my new hamper business. Yeah. So you get a bit of
how
both.
How did you do that?
I used to love... old vintage carts, and I could never find anywhere apart from farm sales, and I always used to get outbid. So I make 6-foot by 4-foot vintage style hay carts. And if you go onto my website, my most expensive hamper is a 6-foot by 4-foot vintage hay cart with big wagon wheels. And that's the hamper container. You can then fill that with £500 worth of goodies of your choice, be it food, drink, wine, or flowers, or anything you like. And I'll sort all that for you. And actually, 2 weeks ago, we delivered one down to Newnham. The cart is now positioned in his front driveway, and has a big house in the front driveway, and he had food and drink goodies. Incorporating that. And actually, I would never have done that anywhere else, but the forest just allowed me to creative. No, I was self-taught.
Oh, self-taught.
It's all so creative out here, that it allows you to be push those boundaries and push those borders, I think, an awful lot more. And, you know, people didn't say, that's nuts, Lizzie. They said, oh, what a great idea. Whereas probably if I'd been in Surrey or Sussex or central London or something, someone would have gone, oh, God, she's, you know, lost the plot or something. But it's just accepted out here.
I think that's really important. I think we embrace people's uniqueness.
I think we
encourage and nurture that, as opposed to going somewhere else and going, oh, you're slightly insane. Actually, no, that's a great idea, you know. No, I think that's a great idea, and we should run with it, and we allow the people the freedom to do it.
You see, because when we mentor young people, and I always get the parents, mums that I know, who all go, my son doesn't know what to do, can you go and speak to him? And I always like to say, obviously, maths English is really important, but what is it you really like doing? And if you like doing it, then follow that. You know, like, because you could spend your whole life following a career that actually is not going to make you happy. But if you decide what you want to do around what you really enjoy, then you're going to be happy. So I trained to be a furniture designer and make furniture, and that's what I went to uni as. But then I realised, I was very shy and didn't like people communicating, I got over that. And I really like helping people. That's the thing that makes me happy. And so in the forest, I've been able to do that. I've been able to join. I've been able to try and make a difference to education skills. That's amazing.
So what are the challenges that sort of, if I can use the phrase, creative entrepreneurship that you're talking about, what are the infrastructure challenges around that here that may or may not be part of the biosphere process, but if they were addressed, would make the businesses more successful and the biosphere project more successful?
There's a lot of questions about infrastructure in the forest, Dean. We really struggle with transport. The actual infrastructure for transport in the Forest of Dean is very focused about urban, and we're not an urban central area. The buses, the trains, they're coming from the big cities, you're coming from Cardiff, from Gloucester, from Bristol, but there isn't really the connectivity in the Forest of Dean. To get from Gloucester to Lydney, you're looking at, 45 minutes on a bus?
Yeah, 20 minutes on the train, so we've got a good train service.
Yeah, but if you live in Colford, they cancelled the bus there, because I used to always get, when I worked in Gloucester, I used to like getting the bus there rather than drive, but it used to take an hour, and then now it takes an hour and 45 minutes. Well, that's unachievable.
And do we have, because I don't know this actually, you're mentioning, Lydney, Gloucester, Colford, what about if I wanted to go, say, from Park End to Mitchelding or something? Is there connectivity with buses between their villages?
You need to do a bike track.
There's
everybody.
You've also got community transport. So there is community transport in the Forest Dean.
Oh,
it's just not very well publicised.
Yeah, I didn't hear.
So you can, they're actually introducing more schemes across the entire county and community buses, but people don't know they're there.
Yeah.
And that's not because they're not well funded or anything like that. It's just, there's no one there to shout about them.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I live just across the border in Herefordshire, sorry about that, literally a mile over the border. And we've heard recently that the stagecoach are moving out of Ross completely. So we're not going to have, we're concerned we're going to lose the bus between Gloucester and Hereford because it's run from Gloucester. It's actually they're moving the whole depot to Colford / Gloucester. And all the little rural villages along the edge of the forest and part of the forest are going to lose their bus. And we're kind of like, it's not right. We only have one bus an hour as it is.
On the extreme than that. So you go, you're saying from Park End to Mitcheldean, you can't get a bus to all four towns in the district.
No.
You cannot go from Newent to Cinderford on bus.
No.
There isn't a bus route that links those.
Oh,
you would have to go to Gloucester.
Yeah.
And then back into the forest.
That's
and then people
mad.
Wonder
that's nuts.
People wonder why Newent don't feel included in part of the Forest of Dean. Because they're not. They're excluded from that.
Yeah.
They're within our boundaries.
Yeah.
Our boundaries go from Sudbury all the way up to Hartbury.
Yeah.
We've got two motorways included in our boundaries. So the Severn Bridge is part of the Forest of Dean.
And then
so is the M50. But people don't see the top and bottom.
Yeah.
They see the statutory forest.
Yeah.
And that itself gives its own limitation to the district,
mm-hmm.
because people look at the Forest of Dean and go, okay, it's that bit there in the middle.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
We've got major companies in the district that operate in these little outlying villages.
Absolutely.
And you've
Absolutely.
Got incredible industry in the Forest of Dean. And to say that we've got a university within the district.
Yeah.
But most people associate Hartbury with Gloucester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It's
our Forest of Dean University.
I didn't drive until I came to the Forest of Dean. So at the age of 30, when I moved here, I had to learn. I've always been able to be on public transport.
Yeah, the other infrastructure issue we laugh about is the internet, don't we? Especially here. We've had fibre broadband put in on the main road 2 years ago, but we can't get it on this side.
Oh, for goodness sake.
We've been told 4 years, although I have to say we've been fighting the corner for it, but it is it's really challenging. So it's like, I've got Lizzie's access to her broadband, so we can swap and change. Because at the moment, two computers are on one line, everything goes down, and it makes everything a lot slower, which probably makes us a bit more laid back because we stand there with a sum up machine going, "Welcome to the forest."
What's a sum up machine? Is that
that's the
card
machine. Yeah. And people do associate the Forest of Dean with a little bit slower.
Yes.
And it's not for want of trying. You know, they talk about, central government will talk about, you know, broadband is all about fibre optics and stuff like that. They haven't reached this far. Cities have got that.
But we've got GigaClear in Alvington, Munniston, you know, so we've got all of that. But I think the Forest Economic Partnership, actually, I think they're doing a really great job because actually, and I've been in the area a long time, and what the FEP are doing and joining it all up, So transport is so key to, so young kids want to work and they do get apprenticeships and they do get jobs, but actually one of the biggest issues for them is getting to where they need to go. It's not doing the job, it's not showing up, it's not performing.
At the right time of day.
Yeah, absolutely. So that, so joining all of this stuff up and the whole biosphere, you know, looking after our area, because we don't want people.
But there's a whole lot of businesses that absolutely need fast internet. That must be excluded in a way.
I think I know of some business owners who've paid thousands, tens of thousands to get the best. You know, they've had to go out and get it dug up the road themselves. Whereas actually, it's kind of like, you know, you go to a city and it's an expectation, it's normal, isn't it?
Vantage Point bought it just up the road. Yeah. They bought it in, didn't they, years ago? That's what they did. Yeah. They bought the broadband, you know, to their business park because you just couldn't get it anywhere.
Yeah. And I think
as you become
more global as well, which is what the internet allows us to do. You know, my hampers go out to all over the world. So that means that we'll probably start to do business with other people all over the world. So we'll do more Zoom calls and face-to-face stuff on the internet, which means we need a better, faster, more stable internet to deal with those face-to-face things, because it looks terribly unprofessional when you're halfway through a meeting and all of a sudden the internet drops out and everything stops. Yeah. Especially if you're doing any kind of presentation.
Well, we've done training. So during lockdown, we did like cookery classes online. So it was, in some respects, it was great for us because the cookery school was suddenly out there in a bigger place in the Forest of Dean. And we were doing chocolate making and curry making with people in Paris and Jersey. And I'm sat there on a Zoom call trying to bounce off of, to help the internet stay stable with 72 people making chocolates at the other end of there. And you're right, it's incredible. It seems like we're incredibly unprofessional. We're kind of joking about all the foresting. We're a little bit backward with our
internet. Do you ever end up going somewhere else to do a Zoom meeting or to upload?
Well, no, because things like uploading after it finishes is a complete nightmare. We just sit here for hours.
Else to do it, or
yeah,
you just, or
end up going. Even to be fair, even the villages at home, we only have fairly slow. Mm. You know, so it's the rural life that you have. You kind of, or you just leave the computer going all night.
But yeah,
Or just bouncing off of somebody else's to try and catch it. But yeah, sorry.
The great thing is for small businesses and entrepreneurs, actually, next week there's the launch of the Growth Hub at Mitchell Dean.
Yeah.
So that's so exciting.
Rock up with your laptop and send files.
It looks you know, it's just so funky and so cool. They've got a great coffee shop and it's in the middle of Vantage Point and it's absolutely amazing.
Is there having a launch?
Yes, it's launching on the
It's the 8th,
isn't it?
11 o'clock.
So a week on Friday, that's the launch. So that will be, you know, for entrepreneurs, just great. You can go and work from there, they're having space for offices. That's really going to be huge. So we've got a place in Gloucester, but yeah, that's just down the road. So
it is just down the road. And it shows, though, from one site to another, literally half a mile, what the difference is in what it can be, you know.
So what's underrepresented in the area career-wise? Are there sort of, in terms of the balance of the careers that are open to people, what are the strengths and weaknesses because of being in the biosphere area at the moment?
There's a very wide range in the Forest of Dean. People look at it and think, yes, it's just tourism, it's just about accommodation and things like that, but we've actually got a very strong manufacturing background, and that is not necessarily still in the background. It's not in the past. 16% of our population is employed in manufacturing.
Yeah.
And that's a big figure.
It's true.
Because it's nationally, the average is 12%.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's incredible to think that we've gone from mining, forestry, which is still active in the Forest of Dean. Mm-hmm. You can't push those out, they are still active. But you've got companies like Maybe Bridge, who are shipping bridges out all across the world.
You've got SP pumps, and then you've got Henry Wag, dog people, who's got bigger on everywhere.
Mm. They dog food?
No, they're they make things like towels and dog towels and drying towels and mitts and
he's just won another award again, hasn't he?
And he goes all over the world now with his stuff that he's invented. Yeah. It's incredible. Yeah.
It's not, the Forest Dean is limited to one ideal and one industry. We've got 10 major sectors in the Forest Dean that operate in on international levels.
That's true.
So there's the opportunities there. It's again, go back to what we said, it's people knowing that
it's the awareness of those opportunities, isn't it?
There's a company in an industrial estate in Cinderford that make air conditioning units that go out to every British embassy across the world. It's a two-three-man band. And they've got these incredible multi-million pound industries. Yeah. And then you look at the bigger companies that we see, so like Vasarian, we said moving back into the Forest of Dean, they have just been awarded government contracts for HS2.
Yeah.
They've got...
It's just down the road.
Yeah, just down the road.
Yeah.
Just there.
So I think it's awareness, isn't it, really? Yeah. People just don't know those opportunities are on our doorstep.
But you also have... you also have the smaller businesses that... So who would have ever known that we have two coffee businesses in that blend and roast their own coffee beans? I mean, where else do they do that?
You know,
and that's incredible, that is. And they go everywhere.
Yeah. You know how I found out about that? I was in the Brecon Beacons and I stopped for a coffee and I said, oh, this is nice. And she said, oh, I got it made in the Forest of Dean.
Yeah.
I was like, did you?
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yes, I did my own blend. I went down and chose what I wanted.
Yeah, so yeah.
But like going back to like Suntory, so Lucozade and Ribena, so my other half works there. And like people think it's just production. You know, like, so they just make it. Paul is an analytical scientist and works in the labs. Mm. And he works on new products. And before all this, he used to travel and stuff and go to different places. But yeah, they have samples coming in from all over the world and they have to check it. So who knew that there's a whole like lab there that looks at, you know, what vitamins are in it and how long the shelf life is. It looks at new products and tastes it and things like that. It's a whole hidden.
It's so true. And think of kids. I don't know, I've got... You know, young kids, but you know, they like slime and mixing things, where it's just like, do you know what, you can get a job mixing in a lab, a mixologist.
Yeah, Suntory,
and actually have a global career, because it's a huge company.
Suntory is one of our major employers in the district, and there's not just the factory, we've got Dana Mitchell in Colford. The blackcurrants are picked in the district.
Yeah.
Everything that's going into that is local.
Mm. It is.
It's just incredible to think that this is our area, this is what we're trying to protect with the idea of a biosphere.
Yeah, it is. So that's what we need to protect.
What's going on environmentally, globally, as well as here, what are the issues that worry you personally and from a business perspective? And are any of those issues ones that you think might be highlighted or addressed through the biosphere process?
I think there's a huge opportunity now for people, for individuals here, because the whole remote working / hybrid working at the moment, that's kind of a bit of a response to, you know, how do we manage working after a global pandemic? But now you can come and live here and enjoy being here, and, you know, the job market's open to you, you can work wherever. And that wasn't the case. When you were looking for a job before, you'd have to look in a sort of 30-mile radius or wherever you could travel to, really. But so it's a huge opportunity for everybody really living here, and it's bringing more people in, so I guess that's the worry from looking after.
Well, the negative is driving the house prices up, isn't it, for local people, sadly.
Well, that's a two-point. It's good for the developers.
Absolutely.
So we've got a few local developers in KW Bow, Freeman's, that driving up the house prices is great for them as builders, but for people like me, I'm a first-time buyer trying to buy in the district.
Yeah.
We've had a 22% hike in house prices since 2018.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It's true.
And probably not for the video, but that the biosphere might make that more.
We need to protect the market to keep the local people in the area, because that's what will kick people out, isn't it? That they can't afford to live here.
But it's not what you ask, but for the biosphere for me would be it would help educate the local people to what we need to do to protect our history, to protect what's here, to be able to do what we like doing best. and to realise what you need to look after, mm. whether that is the plants or whatever. It's ridiculous. Like, so who knew that if you don't mow your lawn in May, you get a quite rare wild orchid growing in the middle of it, which yeah. we did this year. Yeah. You know, like, and it's like knowing those things that you can be part of making it better and reduce the carbon footprint, and you know, like it, and so I think that it would be a huge education piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think also about being more reliant on having local produce feeding us rather than
yes.
More of it being imported as well. So you're not only reducing air miles, but you're actually producing really good quality food. So there's this whole thing about cows and letting off gas, and everyone's saying you should become vegetarian. But actually, that's not how to address it. Eat less meat, but eat better quality meat. So for instance, my Belted Galloways on my land, they're specifically chosen for that type of land. And let's get down to nitty gritty. Cowpats are amazing for the environment. So they're great for all the beetles, and all the insects, which then impacts on the local bat population, which impacts on the whole environment around us. So I think buying local and understanding the whole local produce and food thing is really important for creating the whole environment for
and
us to all
back to the grow. Biosphere. That would be. It's part of that, would be making everybody aware
yeah,
of that
absolutely.
And realising
yes.
it and seeing that they could make a difference to the future.
Yeah.
For
yes,
the
and the actual quality of the produce as well, where you get commercial beef that's probably fed lots, it's grown quickly, it doesn't get all the nutrients that something that's slow matured gets
yeah.
in it. So actually the food you're eating is better quality produced locally, so
yeah.
therefore
yeah.
that impacts on everybody's health as well.
And I think the other thing associated with that is the seasonality as well.
Yes.
Because I think, you know, we are about, it's about your food
yeah.
being seasonal.
Yes.
So almost going back to decades ago when I could only get that type of apple. In, like our damsons, our local plums, you know, they are raved about. They're used to make Negroni and jam and
yeah.
all the rest of it. And people after them, once the season's gone, that's
it's
it.
Gone.
It's mm-hmm. gone. You know, and that's about the seasonality. You can only get that piece of that damson Negroni in our shop that time of year. Once it's gone because it's local and it's seasonal, and then it's gone. And then come back next year. Same with wild garlic.
Yeah.
You know, it's we use it and then it's gone.
Is there anything going on right now that worries you that might affect you reputationally in the future if it's not addressed?
Do you mean individually, or do you mean like forest wise?
Either, but you know, there may be things that you've heard about happening, or things that, you know, what are the threats that really urgently need to be addressed?
I think there's a few threats that people don't realise are going to affect us and affect business and supply chains. So taking for consideration the last, what's happened in the last couple of years, the flooding on the A48,
mm-hmm.
the water levels are rising. And we know for a fact that whenever it floods, the Forest Dean becomes its own little island.
It does.
You can't get out at the top end, you can't get out at the bottom end. And the worst that we had was it last year or the year before, where it got that bad, they had to shut the bridges going into Monmouth.
Yeah.
So we were completely and utterly isolated.
Sydney was underwater, literally.
Yeah.
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 These rise of sea levels predict that most of Sydney will be gone by 2050.
Mm-hmm.
Biospheres can help with flood prevention. That's the management of the land
yeah.
And the forest, and even the introduction of beavers that we have in Lidbrook.
Yeah.
They can help protect our main gateways into the Forest of Dean. And that doesn't just affect the commuters going into Gloucester, that affects our food coming into the district.
Mm-hmm.
So people buying locally actually makes us more sustainable as an area.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the main things that people don't realise is that the risk of forest fires is extremely high in the Forest of Dean at the moment. Last year they had, in Wales, they had so many mountain fires, they had 8 crews out one night on 4 different fires. But that's not too far away, that's just over the border.
Yeah.
We've
got climate change.
The climate change is drastically changing the risks that we have against us.
Yeah.
So how do we
What about water quality? Has that been an issue?
The water quality on the Y is a major
issue.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. It's the chicken farmers, isn't it?
Well, somebody suggested I swim the 22 miles down the Y, and I was like, I'd really rather
not. But that, it never didn't used to be like that.
No,
you know,
it didn't
even like 5 years ago, I don't remember it being so bad. That
no.
With all the algae and everything, it's really,
yeah, it's really the
if
last
you go canoeing,
couple of
weeks. It's disgusting.
And could that actually, apart from being upsetting and terrible for the environment, could that actually affect your bottom line? In terms of the reputation of the area?
Well, the Y is good because it's huge tourism.
Yeah, huge
impact on tourism,
yeah.
The Y, isn't it? They come for canoeing and paddleboard and even yoga on boards and stuff they
yeah.
do.
Well,
and
there's the pubs and things around
yeah.
there that, you know, so
yeah.
they want to go down and see how beautiful it is. But then also the wildlife and, you know, the otters and things, and
yeah.
it's affecting how
yeah.
their, you know, natural environment. And by because of unsustainable farms that are, you know, spreading the chicken poo across the fields that goes into the water.
Yeah. Or at rest of chicken bits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which it,
there
he,
are,
it,
we are affected negatively by a minority, but we're affected so massively because we all know about it, and it's stopping that, isn't it? Stopping the one or two individuals that are messing up our river.
Yeah.
I think we've got lots of material there, so that, you know, we've just. That's been nearly an hour.
Wow.
It'd be really great. I'll stop filming in a minute so you can all
eat.
Feast on the goodies and not be embarrassed.
I've come to the point where I thought it was just for show.
I don't know if it's real.
It could be taken away.
I think the biosphere is a great idea because I think it will protect our environment. We've got a very, very special environment here. We haven't got other status, and you know, it would be great to have a status that's unique to us. We're a very unique place, and that uniqueness needs to be protected. Future.
I think the biosphere is absolutely paramount, not just for our forest here to protect it, but worldwide, to be honest. Because at the end of the day, we need to work with nature and within certain constraints for the human race in order to survive in the future.
I agree. Yeah, I just think the biosphere it's so important for the forest. It should be part of the celebration of it, about the inspiration and motivating the people within the forest for our future, for our children, and to be able to think that in 50 years' time that it's how we remember it when we first came here. So I think it's hugely important. And if you look at like North Devon and how it's affected, how for the positive effect it's had there. I think it would be good to have it here because it is a beautiful, wonderful place to live.
I think the biosphere is going to be a really good idea for the Forest of Dean. There are negatives, so things like the increase of house prices like we spoke about, the constraints it can put onto some developments, but I think it's about balance.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. We need to balance what we do as humans against the nature and make sure that that is sustainable, that in 10, 15 years' time, our children can say, look at this great place that we live in, not, I wish this could be different.
Yeah, I think the biosphere is essential, I think, for a lot of the points that the others have raised, that is about the uniqueness of the forest, about making sure that we don't lose any of the attractiveness that we have here, and that we retain all the special skills we have, but also try and help the people who want to stay here to try and remove some of the negativity on the house prices so that we can keep our locals local. So yeah, for me it's a fantastic idea.
And I think the species, it'll help with species as well, won't it? Flowers and, you know, there's a
Absolutely.
Huge change going on there and animals as well, I guess.
Brilliant. Is there anything we've not covered, do you think, Becky? I mean, that's quite wide-ranging, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the only key facts for people that if you haven't read the report from the which was produced for FET by the Office of National Statistics, is that a branding campaign for the Forest of Dean, so you talked about your products that you sell and your hampers, a branding campaign could see a 1 in 3.8% return on sales. So every £1 that we invest in a biosphere, we could see a £3.89 return on those sales, and that's just a small aspect of it. Things like good farming practices, which would help mitigate the issues on the Y, And even things like coppicing or woodland management will help us. But I think some of the main things for business is it give us an opportunity to look at what are we doing and how can we do this better? Mm. How many people actually know what their carbon footprint is for their business? The district council's just done a massive piece of what they've produced themselves, but each SME, how much do you know about how much you're actually emitting? So driving from Bristol to the Forest, or even going in by train, how much carbon, what carbon footprint, what's the carbon footprint of your suppliers bringing stuff to you? We don't know this. Businesses don't look at this. They don't think, how am I going to measure what my actual footprint is in the world? But Biosphere Reserve, does that give us an opportunity to actually step back and think, what can we do better?
Absolutely, yeah.
Great. Yeah, I'm literally going to edit it down to something really little. But so for you, Helen, could you just introduce yourself and Puzzlewood and then say something about what a biosphere might mean to you and your business?
I'm Helen, and I run Puzzlewood in the Forest of Dean, which is a designated ancient woodland. So,
but you have already been proactive about approaching Natural England and running a...
We have, yeah. We've worked with Natural England in that we've re-established all the hedges to work, and obviously worked with Foresters Forest to work on the bat highways, so linking Puzzlewood, Lampsky Woods, and with Clearwell Caves, and protecting there's a SSSI bat cave, obviously right beside us. So it's really important that we work with Clearwell Caves and our neighbours to protect that environment. So that's an important element of looking after Puzzlewood and all the lichen on the trees. It all links together what the bats feed off. So that would be the important protecting that, really.
So Puzzlewood, it's already a site. Is it a SSSI?
It's not a SSSI. It's a designated ancient woodland, but it's not SSSI. There is a bat cave just within the fields, neighbouring fields, that is SSSI, but not the woods.
But you've already got quite an amazing reputation as a place, haven't you?
Through film. I mean, our number one priority is always protecting the scales, the ancient woodland, because there are very few accessible scales in the Forest of Dean, and they're really unique to the Forest of Dean. So that's priority for us. We don't need the SSSI.
So your scales actually is important for the other scales, because you've designed it to be accessible.
Yes.
And in a way, it will reduce the footprint of humans visiting the other ones. It should reduce the impact.
It should do. By looking at it and providing a safe pathway through, yes, it should protect the other scales, because if people will want to see, they'll come to us, hopefully, and not venture off where it can be really dangerous. And you know, you were sitting on top of caves here, so you have to be really careful. And to protect the wildlife as well. And that is one of the reasons we do have the paths, and we encourage everybody to walk on the paths, is to protect the woodland as well as keeping people safe. people question why we put the handrails in, but it is there to protect the landscape and to educate the children that come through as well, and explain to them why it's so important to watch where you step, what you're stepping on.
And visually, it's kind of almost like a temperate rainforest in there in some ways, isn't it? It's got so many ferns, it's got the feeling of it, you know, it really does feel precious, doesn't it?
It does. The moss is there literally all year. In fact, the temperatures have changed. We've practically got the ferns all year now as well. They used to disappear in the winter and spring back in springtime. So it's almost a different climate, and that's the magic of it. You step into Puzzlewood, and you're not quite sure where you're going, and then, of course, you step into the magic, and it's beautiful.
And in terms of the whole Forest of Dean, and if it's sort of a jigsaw of key sites, Puzzlewood is quite... How does Puzzlewood fit into that? It's one of the major ones, would you
I would say so, because it is the best and most accessible example of the scales in the area. So there are pockets of scales elsewhere over, maybe at Tintern, but it's a very different landscape to the main Forestry England lands, which is obviously managed forests, and this isn't. So I do think it's an important part of the jigsaw.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I think we've probably got enough already.
Yeah.
But just to, in terms of, you just touched on the climate changing and the ferns behaving differently.
Yeah.
But other threats and other human presences around, is there anything going on apart from the climate change that worries you, or anything that could be, a bit of persuasion could be moderated, do you think?
There are challenges from factories around us, pollution, and pollution. It definitely plays an important part of protecting the woods, because it affects the lichen on the trees, which affects the bats. It affects the whole feeding chain. So that is a little bit of a challenge for us.
But then going back to you know, how Puzzlewood fits in the wider Forest of Dean, how important do you think the quality of the environment is, or to you personally, as a business, but just as a human?
It's important to protect nature. You know, if I don't look after the site as best my ability, it will disappear. I've seen the impact that footfall has, so hence why we put the handrails in and protect it. I've seen the changes within the woods with the heavy snow, so it's a changing landscape. So it's important piece of history.